This is summer. You may have seen animals visiting from the Serengeti on our walls. We've been on a prayer safari. Here at the Kingdom of the Sun, your children have been learning about the Lord's Prayer and how God listens. He listens to our prayers. God provides. He provides for our needs. God forgives. He forgives our sins when we ask. God protects. He's with us in troubled times. And God rules. He rules everything. Now, we'd like to share more about what we've been learning.
I'm sorry. Wow. Wow, what a crowd.
You said it, Bakari. There sure are a lot of safari groups here today. Hey, Terry?
I'll say, Jerry, but where is Dr. Dulat? She was supposed to be here because she called together this meeting of safari groups. And I can't wait to tell her about all our adventures we've been having and see what's been going on around here at the Serengeti Animal Reserve. Oh. Here she is now. Hello, Dr. Dulat.
Hello. I'm glad to see that you all made it back in time for our safari celebration. Excuse me. Dr. Dulat? Yes? The gorilla is where? Well, I don't mind if he sleeps on the kitchen table. Do you know where a 300-pound gorilla likes to sleep? Anywhere he wants.
Well,
isn't that right, my little Snooky O'Combs?
Doc, we're really glad you're here and all, but do you think you could put your cell phone away at least to the end of the party? I hear this crowd charges $20 a pop.
Oh, no, Bakari. My staff needs to know that they can talk to me at any time, even during a party.
That's right. God says... We learned this summer that God listens to us. We can talk to him anywhere, anytime.
Wow, that's really good to know that God listens to us. And you're right, Dr. Dulat. Your staff does need to know that you listen to them at any time. And I'm sure glad we listened to you and we decided to go give video the Blue Cheek Bee to sell to the Animal Planet crew.
It sure was hard finding that blue-cheeked bee there. Oh, wasn't it, Terry?
I'd say so, Jerry. That is one difficult-to-find bird.
Wouldn't you say?
I'd say so indeed. Wouldn't you say so, Mr. Bakari?
Yes, Jerry. I would say that the blue-cheeked beater is a difficult bird to find.
Speaking of hard to find, I heard that one of the safari groups was having a hard time finding the animal hospital. Oh, here they come now!
Jumbo, Jumbo, it means hello.
that you guys all made it here. My little lion cub friend and I were starting to worry about you.
Well, you know, Doc, worry never did anyone any good. I used to worry about my broken-down Jeep and that I wasn't going to be able to run my safari business anymore. But all that worry caused me to make some pretty poor decisions.
Like when you decided to trap and sell the blue-cheeked bee-eater.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad one. But thankfully, you two, all three of you, showed me that I don't have to lie and cheat people to get the things that I need.
We learned that because God loves us. He gives us the things we need every day.
Forgiveness. I'm so thankful that three of you decided to forgive me when I tried to steal that blue-cheeked bee-eater.
Carrie and I learned to forgive each other, too.
What do you mean? When did we have to forgive each other?
The other day, when you were being difficult, you wrapped our tent in yards of mosquito netting. We couldn't even get in it.
What do you mean it was being difficult? If anybody was being difficult, Jerry, it was you. You don't understand my fears. You could be a lot more sensitive, you know.
Are you calling me insensitive? That's not very nice.
I'm not being nice. I'm always
never nice.
Nice.
You're always worried about everything.
Whoa. Hey, you two. What were we just saying about forgiving one another?
God wants us to forgive each other. Since He forgave us, He wants us to forgive others.
Friends of faith, forgive. forgive you. No, I forgive you. We forgive each other.
Well, I sure am glad that is over. It's no fun when folks don't get along.
25.
Dr. Dulot. Oh, my. The gorilla woke up hungry and is tearing up the kitchen looking for something to eat? Well, try to tempt him outside with a bunch of bananas. I know there are several bunches of them out in the barn. You know, one thing a gorilla can't resist is the temptation of a good banana.
Well, temptation is something else I learned about on this last safari. Like the time that Terry and I were tempted to get too close to the quicksand to get a good shot at the blue-cheeked bee eater.
I know. If Jerry hadn't been there to pull us out, we'd have been sunk. Literally, sunk.
Temptation often leads us into trouble.
We have a thought about temptation. God can always help us say no to temptation.
the things we've learned about God remind us of things that we can talk to God about. Jesus taught his friends to talk to God by teaching them the Lord's Prayer. And we can learn how to talk to God by learning the Lord's Prayer too.
We know a song about the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father,
Wow, you know, it occurs to me that we learned an awful lot about God on the safari. Let's see. God listens when we pray.
And God provides what we need.
And God forgives us for the wrong things we do.
God protects us from temptation.
I can tell you something else about God. God rules. Let's sing a song of praise to God.
Blessing over these children because we didn't do it before they performed today. So join me in blessing them. First, thank you, children. That was wonderful. I'm going to steal someone else's job in thanking them. I'm just supposed to bless them. So I do. Lord, I join with all of these people here in blessing these children and thanking you for them, Lord, and asking you to keep on equipping them, Lord, growing them up in God's ways. I thank you for the older kids, Lord, who are just shining in front of you, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to bless now the younger ones and bring them all along. We thank you for them in our midst, Lord, and we ask you to make their way straight and clear, always with their eyes on you, Lord. Thank you for these children. Amen. This is Connie Petrovic, who's really in charge of this program this summer. She's been great.
This morning, as I was watching these kids, and I heard Tim talk about investment, you know, investment in our church. This is our investment. This is our prophets. This is our teachers. This is our healers. And most of all, what was so wonderful is that all of you who took part this summer in this children's program. But I have some special people I want to thank. And as I call your name, please just stand up so everyone sees who you are, for those who don't know you. And that's Thelma. Karen Albay. Beth Mundy. With Beth. Molly Frank. Cindy Peters. Lindsay Alvey. And an especially a big thanks to Katie and Jay Patterson. Jamie Arkin, and Danielle Hartwell. You know, and we talked about, we learned about God, and we learned that He listens, He provides, He forgives, and He protects. And there were a lot of people that taught that this summer. So everyone who came down and taught for us, and anyone, everyone who taught, would you please stand up? You taught a lesson like Linda, and I know Brian, there, Mike. And so we learned about God, but we also learned how to make crafts. We had a lot of fun doing that. So everyone that helped with crafts today, please stand up so we can see you. Thank you. And there were many more. I don't know where everybody is today. And then we played games, and guys like Steve Hagen even came out and helped us. And Lacey, I don't see him here today. Patty Clark, there were a lot of people that helped us with games. Please stand. And also, we had a bunch of safari guides, and without the safari guides, we wouldn't have gotten everyone to where they needed to go. So anyone that helped with safari, please stand up. Thank you. Thank you. People are shy this morning. And there were some other people, too, that just came down and lent their support, or sometimes we just sort of dragged them in because we might have a morning where we were a little bit desperate and we needed somebody, and someone stood up. But especially the teenagers. They were very helpful. They came down and helped. And, you know, here again what I'm saying is this is our future. And I have to really thank everyone that helped. But I also have to say, please, please think about helping next summer. You know, whenever we do vacation Bible school again. And also this fall, we still are looking for teachers and helpers because this is our investment. And if we don't take care of it, who's going to take care of it? So thank you all.
Forgive us as we transition the stage one more time. for the music. Track 5.
Dorime, interrimo ad appare dorime, ameno, ameno, la giremo, dorime, ameno.
Good afternoon, everybody. The drama that you just saw is one of the what we consider ministry tools that we use out on the ministry field to, you know, all the nationals, whether we go to Mexico, whether you go to Guatemala, whether you go to Africa. As you can tell, it can be pretty powerful, and it just explains the whole story of who Christ is and what he's done for us. So what we're here to do this afternoon, is to share just a little bit of our heart and our experience of what we did. We went to Mexico. We went to Tijuana, Mexico. We did a variety of things. We ministered. We presented this drama. We also built some houses. And so we're just going to just give you an overview. I'm going to hand the mic off to Nate here. He's going to share a little bit about his experience and what God did for him and just give you and share his heart and give you a little bit of overview of what happened.
Good afternoon. All right, while we were down in Tijuana, or Baja, Mexico, as some people call it, the Lord put on my heart that actually, missions is what I'm supposed to do for the rest of my life, that I need to be able to do that. and go off wherever the Lord sends me. So after, once the Lord put that on my heart, one day, the fifth day, about, I think it was, we went to this one woman's house. There was like four of us. She had about four children, and she had lots of issues. Her husband had died. Her two older sons died in a car accident. A whole bunch of issues that she was just on her heart that were weighing down. So we sat there and prayed with her, and then one of the littlest girls that she had came up to me and stared at me, just looked at me. We stared at each other about 30 seconds, and I thought of something. I grabbed the coloring book that I had brought, and I gave it to her. Her eyes lit up like it was the best gift in the whole world. Then I sat there, and she still stared at me. And I was like, oh, what's wrong? So I took out the markers, and I sat there and colored with her for about an hour, three pages, which she thought was the best thing she ever done in the whole world. And she just put them up on the refrigerator, put them up on the wall, everything. And then by the end of the day, by the time we left the house, every single person in that house was saved.
Also, while we were down there, one of the things that we did was we have at the end of our, right before we left, at the end of our time there, everyone was asked, what was your, what we call a Kodak moment. So I'm going to have everyone kind of just share that towards the end, what their favorite part is, but something that God really put upon their heart to impress upon them. And as Nate indicated, it was that time spent there. I'm just going to, some of the things that Nate, forgot to, some of the little details that he forgot to point out. He's very proficient at building the house that we had, and we have a slideshow for you, but I just wanted you guys to know that he was extremely helpful in getting everyone else to assist, and it was pretty neat. It was pretty amazing because from last year, I remember Nate, we went to Puerto Rico, and, I remember him being so tedious in the work that we were doing. I remember someone was painting fences and they like kind of missed a few spots in there, and he's just like, I can't believe they missed that spot. And just to give you a little background, his dad's a carpenter and does interior and does work, so I could see where he gets that from. But this time he was really, really laid back, and he just let everyone else kind of participate and not take over. So I was really proud of him. So here's Jason Smith.
Hello again. While we were down there, how everybody has a reason that they went down there, why God sent them down there. And I believe that mine was to show me that up here in America, if you go and talk to somebody on the street, chances are that, they'll just kind of dismiss you as some crazy person trying to tell them something. But down there in Mexico, everybody embraced you like you were their family. They'd come up to you, they'd talk to you, they'd try to get water from you, which happened a lot down there. But, there's just the family they were building for. Her brother was named Lucio. Can't remember their last name. But at the end, right before we left the building site, after we built the house and got everybody situated and everything, I went over and talked to him with one of the translators, and I helped bring him to the Lord. And that was a really life-changing experience for me. And it's probably my Kodak moment as well, other than all the other interesting things that happened with Nate and some people in our tent. I really don't know what else to say. It's the first time I've gone on a missionary trip. Next year I intend to go again.
Stay up here. All right. I'm going to let him share this story because the unique thing about when we went down there, we were with 28 other people, members, we call them, our team. And one of the first times we were, after we, like our first day, we had a chance, what we call debriefing, or, processing what the day was like and what went through, and, how had the day impacted you? What were your thoughts? And, what was part of the reason why you were, did you decide to come on this trip? And, you know, it was extremely remarkable to me what Jason stated. And I'll let him share, because every time I tell the story, I start crying. So I'll let him tell you how obedient he is to the Lord.
My niece is Megan Paige Riley, and she's back there walking around with my mom. And when she was born in November of last year, we all went there, and my sister, when we went there, actually it was 3 days, I believe, since she was born. Correct, Andrew? And my sister hadn't seen her since, like, up until the time that we got there, and she still hadn't seen her because she had some complications when she was born. And when we went into the waiting room, her and her husband were in there looking at Megan, and I sat there and I prayed to the Lord that that she'd be okay, and if, you know, she was, then I would go and do whatever God told me to without hesitation. And I believe that he told me to go on the trip. And so I did, without hesitation.
And I guess the point is, I don't want you guys to miss is the fact that, you know, young people, especially Jason and all these gentlemen up here, they have a heart. And for someone to grasp it, to listen and what Don said with communion with God, but to be obedient to the Lord and to go, you know, that really, really touched my heart. And for him to share that and to be a blessing, to be a testimony to the rest of our team members down there, it just kind of set the whole tone for the week, that we just need to be obedient to the Lord and to listen, and, you know, he will bless us, and we're doing it for his glory. So, Brian.
Well, I do know that I've probably known this for a while. I am meant to, if I am ever going to go into the ministry field, I'm going to be a missionary, because there's just the way I'm wired, my personality, I can never be anything else. I just have to be right there in the action. One of the really great parts about being down there was how friendly everyone was. Everyone greeted us with a smile. Several came right out and said that they were very glad that we were there. When we did go on ministry, we had to go down like this huge hill. We passed by this one guy's house like all the time. One day he came out and he just thanked us for coming. He was very glad because he had the Christ in his heart, so he was glad that we were there helping to bring more people. It was also really great to see a lot of our team members on our team to just like come out of their shells. At first they were like really shy, quiet. But as the week went on, they just opened up.
Have a quick moment.
Yeah. Basically what I said, all the people being friendly, but also just the children, getting to play with some of the children. I was practically mugged by a bunch of kids when I first pulled out a couple of the toys I had brought. They just went nuts. They went insane and went right for me.
Figure. All right. One of the things that Brian, you know, one of the little details that Brian, I spent majority of the week with Brian as we went out. We had six teams. We had six teams of six, so six teams of four, six teams four or five. And I primarily spent the whole week with Brian. Was on my side of the teams that I was in charge of, And there was one day that we went out into the, what do you want to call it? Valley, yeah. And we were talking, and we had finished coming out of one house and speaking with someone, and we went to another house, and it was like, well, guys, do you guys want to go, and, you know, you want to go to this house, or you don't want to go, you want to go back, or, you know, what do you want to do? And Brian's like, well, let's minister to them. And so we get into the house, and, you know, basically the house is, it was just a bunch of boards boarded up, and it had two rooms in it. And it was so much in shambles that when Brian went to get on the first step, he almost went through. But this lady was so inviting to us she gave us all chairs. Well, once Brian didn't get on the stairs, I didn't bother to go in after him because I didn't want to make her house any worse than it had to be, that it was already there. So I stayed at the porch area. But just to let you know that Brian led, she was already a Christian, but he led the prayer that day, and it just totally blessed my heart to see him come from, you know, the first time that we went on a mission trip, being, you know, somewhat timid and not sure of himself and unsure, to this, you know, this young adult who's in there and who's just praying blessings over this lady and her three kids, and praying that they would be one of the ones that would receive a house, and praying that, you know, that she would continue to be faithful in the Lord, and that she would, you know, that her children would be upstanding with Christ. And just to see the maturity, and that's just a, you know, it's not a testimony to, you know, Teen Mania or the group that we went to. It's a testimony to, you know, our family here, to our church, you know, with all the teaching and the practicality that we live out in life. It's a really, really neat thing to see, and it blessed my heart, and I was just like, yeah, Brian. And, you know, and to do it on the missions field, I just want you guys to be so proud of him, because it's just, you know, it's just an awesome thing, and I know he will continue to be, you know, the man of God and young man of God that that God has purposed him to be.
He actually had I don't know what you call it, but his third year, his second year, his first year, so we're graduating on up. Well, it's my turn to share, and I really wasn't sure. There's so much on my heart to share with you guys. I hope I can keep my composure. That I really have left it up to the Lord to really direct my words today, because I want him to speak through me today to you. But my heart is so burdened for this generation. And, you know, while I was down there, I questioned why I was sent to this place. Because truthfully, wonderful Mexico, there's so much need there. There's so much poverty there. And there's so many people who may think they know the Lord, don't really know him. But for some reason, I wasn't catching that. I wasn't seeing that need as great as I wanted to see it, as I anticipated to see it. But as in reflection, since I've been back, I've seen that the reason I went down there was for them. Forgive me. We were in charge of 26 teenagers and adults. 14 came from Alaska, one from North Carolina, Florida, Texas, Canada, California, and I think Seattle. And it was, I know, it was an amazing thing to see all 28 of us come together and work in harmony, beautiful harmony, and get to know each other as intimately as we did. And when I came back, I've seen teenagers who are hurting right here around us. And my heart breaks for them. And all I can do is do what God has told me to do. So I went on this trip. And through me, really through you, because you provided the funds, the prayer, the support, the encouragement to send me and the rest of this team down there. And I'm just so thankful to you for that, because through you,
a parent in North Carolina sent us a letter this week saying how blessed she is because you had the courage to send us down there. And her daughter was changed. Not a national of Mexico, but a national of the United States. And she is actually frustrated because God is not moving fast enough for her to change her world around her and her friends and her youth group. And that is an amazing testimony that I thank you for, because it was through you that that was possible. While we were down there, there was this very vivacious young girl named Hannah from Texas. And there was one night, Teen Mania has their week all structured, and there was one night that is specifically meant for small groups. And since we were in tents, small groups took place in the tents. And she questioned about speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Todd and I weren't there because we had other people in charge of each of the small groups. So the next day, she comes back from being on the mission field. We were at the house constructing, and she was with her team out in the mission field ministering. And she came back saying, I just got filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my gosh. And she was just jumping up and down, bubbling over, as excited as, I mean, she just won $1 billion. I mean, that's how excited she was. And the story was that the night before, they had been discussing speaking in tongues. And this young girl that I was just telling you from North Carolina that her parents sent me a letter had been using scripture to direct her in speaking in tongues. So she was at this house. They prayed for 13 lives in that house to be saved. And when they were praying blessings over the family, someone said, Lord, I ask that you fill us each with the Spirit. And she started speaking in tongues. And I just really, really, it's on my heart to impress upon you the reason I said yes to God to go on this trip, because it was a very last-minute decision, a lot of coordinating with having four children and everything. I prayed to him, Lord, I need a yes that I can hear, understand, and see, and feel, and everything. And one day I was driving in the car. 4 days before, I had to make a decision whether to go to the training in North Carolina for this trip. And I don't know how many of you know the song, Thank You, for giving to the Lord. I was driving. Let me tell you, I probably should have pulled over. Because my eyes were just so filled with tears. And the Lord showed me that song in a picture. But it wasn't just for me. It was for each and every one of you. There's going to be a day that we are called, and we're going to stand before the Lord. And in front of us, next to him, will be a line so long, so far, miles of people standing, waiting to thank each and every one of you for having sent us with your prayers and your support and your encouragement and your finances to Mexico this year. Each one of you will meet a national of Mexico. I promise you that. And you will meet their grandchildren, and you will meet their neighbors, and you will meet their great-grandchildren. And they will thank you for having done this. And I want to thank you.
I'm always amazed every time, at least of the six mission trips I think that we've been on, how the Lord just shows up. When you expect him to show up one way, he shows up in a, you know, a totally different way. And that's just neat. And, you know, these four young people back here, four young people, sorry. That's my wife. Four young people. they're an amazing group. You know, I look back, and I don't know if it's the circumstances, but, you know, Camille talked about the harmony in the group. It was almost like knowing somebody for, like, years. And, you know, it was almost to the point where we could finish each other's sentences. and it was just totally amazing. The young girl that got filled by the Holy Spirit, she was the same young girl that while she was working, she gets hit by a 2x4 in the lip, and then, you know, she gets down and she's painting trim and fire ants are on her, eating at her ankles, and, you know, and she's just, you know, she didn't stop, you know, and she's in tears and she's just painting away, you know, painting away still, you know, and saying, I'm doing this for the Lord. And, you know, that blesses me. And one of the things, you know, that just blesses me because it's, you know, how cool is that for a teenager? You know, I know sometimes we get the impressions that, you know, they stop and cry and whine and whatever. And, you know, sometimes they do that. But, you know, sometimes, yeah, that's true, too. But, you know, that blessed me. And, you know, to see Nate and to see Jason and to see these young people just stand up for God. And, you know, there was not one time, and all the teams that went out to ministry, did they say they did not want to go out and minister. No one complained. They wanted to go out and share the love of God. And that's just totally amazing. They knew their purpose while they were down there. And they did it. And I'm extremely blessed. I am totally glad that we went. I thank the Lord, and I thank you guys. I just want to leave you with my one Kodak moment. It was our second day down, and we had to do the particular drama, the Ragman. And we had did the drama, and I did my presentation, which was what they call the net, which is basically to be fishers of men. So we throw out this, you know, word of God, the net, to draw them in. And I finished my presentation. You know, inviting them to, you know, if they wanted to commit their lives to the Lord and be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's like 5 seconds where, you know, no one was there. And we had translators, and, you know, the translators were translating. And then all of a sudden, a little kid, he couldn't have been no more than 3 years old, he walked straight up to me, right before me, and as in to say, you know, here I am, I want to dedicate my life. And I just, like, totally broke down, you know, because, and then after his act, you know, like, several other young people and, you know, a couple adults came through. And I think that day we gave, like, 21 people decided to give their lives to the Lord right then and there. And it's just, like, that's just the way that God just worked throughout the whole trip. And I'm just so thankful that you guys had a chance to send us and hear our testimony. We have a slideshow to give you some visuals to the to our trip and the completed house, and so we just want to present that to you now. And thank you.
me to that.